All right, let's start this morning with a couple of passages. First of all, Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15, and then Romans. Romans chapter 4. Genesis chapter 15, then Romans chapter 4. We'll begin with Genesis 15:1, all right? Genesis 15:1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." And Abram said, "Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abram said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." Now, that's a very famous Old Testament passage that's reflected again in the New Testament, Romans chapter 4. Let's read that real quick. Romans chapter 4, verse 1. Romans 4, 1. "What shall we say then? That Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found..." If you go back in that last chapter, it's talking about circumcision. Verse 4, or 2 rather, 4, 2. "For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture?" And now it's going to, it's reflecting back to the passage that we just read all the way back in Genesis 15. "For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Let's have a word of prayer. Now, Father, thanks once again for an opportunity to be able to stand and preach. Lord, this is the most important stuff on earth. We've heard constantly of recent about the economic package being pushed through and all manner of trouble and so many so-called answers, I suppose. Most folks here are familiar with those things, and yet so often folks are not familiar with the things that really matter and with answers that are of eternal consequence. Lord, we pray that you might give us interest in these things here this morning, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, first of all, starting back here in Genesis chapter 15, first of all, that's a couple of pretty unusual verses when you stop and think about it. Here's an old man, and he's well up in years, and he does have a seed in time. By the time he has a seed, he's a son. He's 99 years old. His wife is 90 years old. Some of you guys want to try that. But he's concerned. He's concerned because he has no heir. And the one that will be his heir is someone that's not his own son, somebody that's just a servant that's born in his own house. And so he's already basically conceded that he wasn't going to have a son. But then the Lord says, "No, you will have a son." And he says, as a matter of fact, in verse 5, "brought him forth abroad," and takes him outside and says, "Look now toward heaven, tell the stars, count the stars if you can." And he said unto him, "So shall thy seed be." And then the Bible says a pretty remarkable thing. It says, "And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." Now, like I said, that's a couple of pretty unusual verses. Old man, childless, no real hope of any children. His wife is old as well, beyond bearing, he believes anyway. And the Lord, for an answer, takes him outside under an open sky and points to the sky and says, "Try to count those stars, because the number of stars that you count, that's going to be like your seed. That's how many kids you're going to have." And the Bible says a remarkable thing then, because it says, "And Abraham believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. That is, Abraham believed what God said about those stars. He said, you believe me? He says, yeah, as a matter of fact, I do. He says, okay, then I'll give you righteousness for your belief. Like I said, that's a very strange transaction. I'll tell you this. The average sheep herder in that country didn't get that deal. Right? I mean, it's not everybody that herded sheep around in that day and age, in that part of the country, that God talked to at night and gave them really profound promises like this and gave them righteousness in place for and for belief. So I got thinking about that a little bit. And then you folks go forward, and you go forward not just hundreds of years, but thousands of years, to Romans chapter 4. And Romans chapter 4 still applies to you. You live in 2009. And here you are, and this thing spans, this promise spans not just hundreds of years, but thousands of years. And the same deal goes for you and me as went for Abraham. Now, folks, look, you think, stop and think about this. You're 21st century Americans. You have cell phones, iPhones, iPods, Blackberries, blueberries, whatever other kind of berries. You've got a pocket full of credit cards. You have a car that you have a little thing on the end of your key, and you push the button and it starts the car for you without going out there. And so you are suddenly transported with all your paraphernalia back into a wilderness place besides Abraham, who lives in a tent, and you're plopped down there beside him and given the very same promises as he was given. That it was he believed in the Lord, it was counted to him for righteousness. And he says, if you believe, he'll count it to you for righteousness. Your faith is counted for righteousness. And so, folks, I got thinking about that, and there are just some things, you know, in this that caught my eye that I hadn't really thought about too much before. The critical wording in it that really caught my eye was three times here. First of all, in Genesis 15, he believed in the Lord, and he, God, counted it to him, Abraham, for righteousness. He counted it for righteousness. In Romans 4, in verse 3, Abraham believed God. It was counted unto him for righteousness. And again in verse 5, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted to him for righteousness. Counted for him for righteousness. Counted. I want to talk to you this morning about counting. Everybody here is very familiar with things, counting or not. A guy proposes to a girl, and she sees something in him that counts. Nobody's quite sure what she sees in him. Some think it's money, some think it's looks, some think it's blonde, some think it's brunette. Some, let's phrase it, just haven't figured it out. We're pretty sure it's connected with chocolate and diamonds. But she sees something in him, and it counts for him. And she says yes. You start looking around for books about raising kids and life's goals and career choices and success and all that. And somewhere, you know, different authors have different versions of it. And they'll say that there are certain things in life that really count. Like I said, there's a lot of different opinions about all that. I've seen women on Hollywood, you know, magazines that are counted for real beauties. And I think, you. So apparently there are some different standards for what counts or not. I don't really know. I know that three-year-olds fight about stuff that really counts to them, and we adults roll our eyes. Then I notice that 45-year-olds fight about stuff that really counts to them, and I've decided they don't know much more than the three-year-olds. Did you know that in basketball, if a guy goes up for the final shot of the game at half court, if the buzzer buzzes before the shot leaves his hand, even if it goes in, it doesn't count. Did you know, though, that in football, if after the last play, after the ball is snapped, the clock runs out, technically the guy could run around for 30 solid minutes if he could stay away from being caught and make a touchdown, and it would count, even after the clock ran out. You know that a fish caught 1 minute before the fishing opener begins, technically, is counted for an illegal fish? Did you know that if you postmark your income taxes April 16th without filing proper paperwork, you're in trouble? If you're a college student and you turn your homework in 1 day late, if the professor is a hard nose, that homework will not count. Tom Daschle learned this last week that limo service technically counts for income. He didn't know that before, but he knows it now. You can if you want to. You can show up for a job interview, all tattooed in a tank top and shorts and flip-flops if you want to. What you don't know is what's going to count with the interviewer. And you're not planning for the worst, for the best, I'll tell you that. So I'm just pointing out that there are some things that, that count. Everybody understands some things count. Everybody disagrees that other things count. Boy, when you start talking about spiritual stuff, that's what we're talking about in Genesis 15, right? I mean, talking about righteousness. And then again in Romans chapter 4, and this is you, not just Abraham, way back there thousands of years ago, talking about spiritual things. Boy, I tell you what, when you start trying to get everybody on the same page for what counts as far as spiritual things, moral things, oh man, we're all over the place, aren't we? I mean, folks, there are some people that think that a certain kind of water sprinkled on your head counts for something with God. They do. They believe that. Did you know that there are some folks that count that think that if you put ashes on your head on a certain Wednesday of the year, if you have a rosary or a St. Chris hanging from your rearview mirror, that somehow that counts with God? They do. They think that. Some people in this world think that if you have a red dot in the center of your forehead, that counts somehow for the Lord. Some people think that if you have bombs in your backpack, that will count with the Lord. Some people think that if you have a certain kind of underwear on, believe it or not, that will count for the Lord. Some people think that whether you eat fish on Friday or not counts for the Lord. So you can see that we're really all over the place here. I want to talk to you this morning about counting. Like I said, the Bible says that God said, I'll count that to you for righteousness, Abraham. And he says to you in Romans 4, there's a certain thing that I'll count for righteousness for you. So in order to deal with this, I need to basically just ask a handful of questions and we'll sort it out that way. And first of all, the fur hits the fan right away, okay? I just warn you, just before we even get started. Because the first question that's worth asking is, who really does the counting? I mean, when it comes down to mattering, who's the one that counts? And it's not a very, very long answer in all that. That's really where the rubber meets the road, isn't it? One of the first things that you teach your kids to do is count. I mean, even before ABCs, usually, kids know how to count. There's not a 3-year-old in the world that doesn't know to somehow manage to stick 3 fingers. No 3-year-old says he's 44. Every 3-year-old in town knows to get somehow or another, he's not used to it yet, but get 3 fingers up. That's how many he is. You teach your kids to count right away. It's one of the most rudimentary principles in life is how to count. And the interesting thing about that is, do you know of anybody that doesn't count by tens? I mean, it sounds like a dumb question, but I was in China this last summer. They count by tens. As far as I know, the Syrians count by tens. The Israelis count by tens. The Canadians even count by tens. You go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You do realize, don't you, that there are other methods. I mean, if you're a computer dweeb, technically everything's built on 1 and 0. But you can count by fives just as well as you can count by tens. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. It's just on a 5 basis instead of 10. Right? And so if you just had one hand, you could just change over to counting by 5s instead of 10. It still works. I mean, you can still account for them. It's just that to us, you know, I don't know if I should do this in front of you, but you know, I mean, you count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Well, you could change and say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, and 10 on a 10-point system equals 15 on a 5-point system. Right? I'm not going to give you any more examples. Your head is already swimming, I can see. But, I mean, this is common knowledge with computer people, right? Ones and zeros. Right? If you took any college courses or whatever, she probably went over it a little bit, that there are actually other ways to do it. So my question for you is, why do we count by tens? I have an answer, I think. I believe, honestly, when it gets down to it, it's because God gave us 10 fingers and 10 toes. And from the beginning, you count, you know, if there's 7 brand new kitties, you go, there's that many in there. There's 7. Right? Instead of going, there's 12 in there. Right? See, now, here's the deal. The Bible says that God made the stars of the heaven with His hands. God has hands. You know what? God has 10 fingers on His hands. And did you know when you go to the Bible, did you know He counts by tens in the Bible? When He said there's 25 sheep, guess how many sheep there are? The same 25 as you count. When He says there's 12 tribes in Israel, guess how many tribes? They're the same 12 that you would count. My question for you is, here we are in complete agreement with God of what counts materially. I mean, we're in complete agreement when God says there's 7 new puppies, you go out there and count, there's 7 puppies. We're in complete agreement. We count the very, very same way. How is it that we can count kids and coins and money and dollars and wives? Whatever. And you know, we come up with the very same numbers that God would come up with. Men count numbers just like God. Okay, ultimately, you need to understand something. God sets a standard for what counts. Right? Now then, you think about this. We're in complete agreement with the Lord on that. But boy, spiritual. If you leave the material world counting cats and dogs and cattle and sheep and goats and money and coins and, you know, when you start talking something spiritual and something moral, boy, are we on a different page. You ever think about that? Here's God says some things are this way. Thou shalt not. This is right. This is wrong. Done deal. The Bible says, for instance, man's theme in Judges is every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Right? It says in yet another place, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Man counts different than God, spiritually and morally, even though they're on the absolute same page. Man uses the Bible system of numerics to count money with. But morally and spiritually, man, it is a different world altogether. I've written it in my law, and they've accounted it a strange thing, says the Lord. See, we count the same number of kittens, cats, whatever, dogs, horses, coins, as God does. But when it comes to sin, or righteousness, or iniquities, or morals, or virtues, oh, we're on a different page. Now, guess who counts? Guess whose opinion counts? God's. Still. It is God that counts. God is the creator. God is the lawmaker. Now, you know what? Here's how people are. People think, well, you know, God just is, He's the lawmaker. He's just out making nonsensical rules. Thou shalt and thou shalt not. Now, I'll admit to you something. Man makes up a bunch of nonsensical rules. Nobody here understands the IRS handbook of rules and regulations, unless you're an accountant. And I doubt you even understand it then. And so, under certain circumstances, a guy that makes the same amount of money as you, he can keep his money in his pocket and not have to pay taxes on it, where you have to pay taxes on yours. How fair is that? Well, you say, that's just stupid. Yeah, it is. It's just stupid. And if you're not careful, you'll look at God as a lawmaker and think that what the laws that he makes are stupid. You may think that it's okay for you to coast through a stop sign, that as long as nobody's there, why should you have to come to a complete stop? Hey, I agree. Okay, I do. I agree. And you say, see, coasting through a stop sign is harmless. It doesn't harm anybody. That's true. I just want you to know that when God makes a law, it's not like coasting through a stop sign. It's not like whether you get to keep a little more money than the next guy because of the tax code, because of some stipulation or whatever. You see, when God makes a law, it's more like the law of gravity. You dare not disobey that. It's like the law of sowing and reaping. You see, God makes a law, and it's not stupid. It's not arcane. He makes a law, and it's that way because if you break it, there's real, genuine, moral, spiritual, eternal damage done. It's not like man just making laws. So when God says he counts something this way, not just 1, 2, 3, 4, but morally it's this way, right or wrong, sin or not. When it's spiritually this way, whether you like it or not, it doesn't matter whether you like it or not. It's that way. Your opinion doesn't matter. He says, I'm counting this to you for righteousness. And you people up in 2009 in Minneapolis, I'm counting this to you for righteousness. It counts. And you say, well, I don't think that should count. Or I think it should count another way. It doesn't matter what you think. Because he's the one counting. He's the counter. He's the one who gets the count. See, okay, my kids play basketball. And, hey, I'm the athletic director. Did you know that when a referee calls a foul on my kid, I do not have the right to run out on the floor and argue the call with the referee? Even though I'm the athletic director, I actually sign the referee's checks. If I go out and holler at the referee, he's going to kick me out of the gym. You know why? Because my opinion doesn't matter. All that counts is whether he called it a foul or not. You try it with a cop next time. Next time you get stopped, you just jump right out, act real aggressive, jump up and down, and, you know, become a gorilla or whatever, and see what you get. See if arguing with a cop under those circumstances is going to help your situation or not. I guarantee you it won't. You know why? Because at that moment, whether you like it or not, that cop's opinion is all that counts. Okay, so let's just settle this. If you want to know who counts, God counts. Right? All right, then with that, he said, Abraham, I'll count this to you for righteousness. And you people in Minneapolis in 2009, I'll count this to you for righteousness. And what I say counts. Okay, next question is, where does it count? And I know you probably know the answer to that, but he's dealing with righteousness. Sin and righteousness, right? I got news for you. Righteousness is an eternal issue. I'll tell you where it counts. It counts in eternity. He gave Abraham, in return for faith, righteousness. He gave you, in return for your faith in Jesus Christ, righteousness. And that righteousness will be eternal righteousness. Like I said, God gave us 10 toes and 10 fingers, and we all agree we're all going to count by tens. None of you are going to change to the 5 system. You're too lazy. I know you are. We all agree that we're going to count that way. Our numeric system is the very same as the Bible's numeric system. We go out and count a litter of 7 puppies, and God counts 7 puppies, I count 7 puppies, you count 7 puppies. We're all agreed, it's 7 puppies. But boy, when it comes down to morality and spirituality, we are on way, way different pages. Man cannot bring himself to count like God when it comes to matters of righteousness. We agree perfectly with him on things that do not matter and on things that matter for eternity, people can't agree with God. There's something afoot there. There's something afoot. How is it that you count just like God counts, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, but when it comes to spirituality and morality, you don't agree with God on adultery. You don't agree with God on what it takes to get to heaven. How can that be unless something's afoot? I know what's afoot. The devil's afoot. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. This world plants stuff in your head from the day you start school, or before, from the day you turn on a TV or a radio or read a magazine or a newspaper. You can't even count on Dr. Seuss all the time. From the very first, somebody's trying to undermine you so that in the end, morally and spiritually, nobody tries to undermine whether you count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. But from the very beginning, everybody is out to destroy you and your kids' ability to count like God counts morally, spiritually. Okay? You say, where does it count? It counts in eternity. We're not just dealing with whether there are seven puppies in the bin or not. We're dealing with whether you go to heaven or hell. That's why it's important that you count like God. And the Lord says, Abraham, I'll count this to you for righteousness. And you people, I'll count this to you for righteousness. So we've talked about who counts, that's God. We talked about where it counts, that's in eternity. Let me ask you, let me point out to you how God counts. And this is where folks really get a little ticked off sometimes. See, in Genesis chapter 15, you're in the beginning of the Bible. You're 15 chapters deep in the Bible. You're way back at the beginning of the Bible, right? And by the way, God said he counted that to Abraham for righteous. That's the first time that God counted anything. I'm not saying he didn't number something else. I'm saying the Bible says that that's the first thing God counted. So the first thing God counted was righteousness. You know what's going to be important. It's the rule of first mention, right? Go all the way back to the very beginning of the Bible, and the first thing that God's counting is righteousness. And then you come all the way to the New Testament, and granted, it's not the very end of the Bible, but it's in the middle of the New Testament, so it's pretty late. And here we are in 2009. It applies to us. We're in the very end times, right? And he says the same thing. He says, I am still counting this thing for righteousness. So righteousness is still the issue for you in 2009, just like it was for Abraham way back in 1900-something B.C. Right and wrong do not change. What's right to God now was right to God then. What's wrong to God then is wrong now. Right and wrong don't change. Say, okay, what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, first thing you need to be aware of as far as God counting, He does not count like you. I'm not saying He doesn't say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 like you. But I'm saying with regard to spiritual things and moral things, He does not count like you. Now, can we agree? In both those passages, righteousness is the issue, right? He counted that to Abraham for righteousness. He counts this to you for righteousness, right? And so it's righteousness that He's counting, okay? I know how you would count righteousness left to yourself. I know exactly how you would count righteousness. You would get out a tally sheet. And you would figure out, the certain rules where your tally sheet would have a bunch of black pluses and red minuses on it. And let's just say that a guy's a thief. Well, that would be assigned a certain negative number. That's pretty bad. Now, if you were a mass murderer, well, you would get some really big numbers on the negative side because that's really, really bad. If you stamped out cockroaches and really enjoyed it too much, you might get some little minuses for that, but it wouldn't be too bad. Now, on the other hand, if on the other hand you devoted your life to good, like making Girl Scout cookies and helping old ladies across the street and stuff, most all of us would assign a plus to that. if you were, let's see, just not murdering somebody would count as a plus. If you liked bunnies, that would be a little plus. But, you know, so you would have this sequence of big, huge minuses and little, smaller minuses, and big, huge pluses and little, smaller pluses. And then at the end of life, you would add them all up, and if the pluses were bigger than the minuses, you're good. After all, what you're counting is righteousness and unrighteousness, and so you would assign the pluses and minuses and the numbers and magnitudes and all that kind of stuff, and then you'd add them all up, and if the pluses were better, then you'd be good. And if the minuses were bigger, you've got a problem. That's the way we would look at it, right? That's not how God counts. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Period. Even Abraham. That's why even with a friend of God, Abraham, God had to deal with him about his righteousness. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It doesn't matter what you did. As a matter of fact, it didn't matter what you didn't do. It's never been the issue. The issue is that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. They've all gone back. They've all together become filthy. There is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Right? We don't count like him. God counts different than you do. Here is David, right? And will everybody agree that David went to heaven? I mean, from the Bible, David went to heaven. David was a murderer and an adulterer first and then a murderer. And a conspirator to do murder. Clearly he's in heaven. Now, I'm not trying to start trouble. I'm just saying clearly he's in heaven. Here's Cain. Where's Cain? Cain's in hell. Cain killed somebody, killed his brother, right? Where'd Cain commit adultery? David got away with murder and adultery and went to heaven. Cain only committed murder and went to hell. How's that equitable? Here's Saul. Sure looks to me like Saul went to hell. I don't know for sure. But David is clearly in heaven, an adulterer and a murderer. Saul's main problem was that he was an egomaniac. Sometimes I read my Bible through and I think he went to hell. You say, what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, the point is, God does not count like you do. There's something else that you have to get clear. Go look in Romans chapter, or I'm sorry, we look there too, but Genesis 5, 15 real quick. Genesis 15, verse 6. And people have a real problem with trying to get a hold of this. Verse 6. He, Abraham, believed in the Lord, and he, God, counted it to him, Abraham, for righteousness. You get to Romans chapter 4, and again, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. God's counting righteousness, right? You say, how does God count? God doesn't do what you do. If you were doing the righteousness tally, you would have a long list of righteousness and unrighteousness, add them up, and then deal with what the sums were in the columns. God does something entirely different. He allows something else to count for righteousness. He substitutes something for righteousness. He lets something else stand for righteousness. There's none righteous. No, not one. So if he tallies righteousness, we all wind up in the negatives. Everybody, even Mother Teresa. Especially Mother Teresa. You wind up in the negatives, just like Charles Manson. The way God counts is he lets something else count for righteousness. So having dealt with that, what we need to ask is the next obvious question. What counts? Not who counts, God counts, but what counts. In Genesis chapter 15, look one more time. He, Abraham, believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Again, you read in Romans 4, 3, what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now, what counted? He believed in the Lord. He believed God. Right? Can we agree? Can we agree that God counted Abraham's belief in place of his righteousness, treated it as if it were righteousness, and counted it to him for righteousness? He lent something else substitute for the righteousness instead of adding up the righteousness and unrighteousness columns. Right? Look, I'm not an accountant, neither are you. I'm just telling you, that's the way you would do it, right? All right. Now, when I used to drive full time, I'd go downtown, and there was a trash basket downtown, and somebody had written graffiti on it, and it said, "Believe in Jesus." So, believing in Jesus, belief is not an unusual thing. But I find something here in these passages I want you to look at here real quick. Look at the wording in Genesis 15:6. He believed in the Lord, right? He believed in the Lord. How is it worded in Romans 4:3? He believed God. Are they the same? I don't know if they're the same, but the implications are monumental. And I'll tell you why. When two kids come to you and they've been fussing and fighting, and one's accusing the one, they're accusing one another. One's being accused of one thing, and you then go to their parents and say, "I believe Jimmy." What are you saying? I believe what he said, right? I mean, I believe Jimmy. Bryce, he offered me $2 a calendar for the whole lot of them without even knowing how much the lot is. So I'll go on record this morning as saying, I believe Bryce. I believe if there's 1,000 calendars back there, that Bryce will give me $2 a calendar. He said, "I'll give you $2 a calendar. I'll give you $2 for the whole lot of them." I believe him. What am I saying? I'm saying that I believe what he said. Right? Now, those two things. Abraham believed in the Lord, and then in Romans, Abraham believed God. All right? Did you know there are people? I tell you what I know. I know a ton of people that would say, "I believe in God," or "I believe in Jesus." But they don't believe a word that Jesus said about the new birth. They say, "I believe in the Lord, but I don't believe what he said about adultery, or about the home, or about the husband and wife, or about this, or about that, or about the other." Tell you what you can't avoid. In the Bible, where God counts something for righteousness, that belief, and it's belief that counts, believing in the Lord of necessity includes believing what he said. You can't believe in the Lord, in the Lord Jesus Christ, and disbelieve what he said about your need to be converted. Just quit lying if you're not going to believe what he said about being converted. You see, to be saved, you're not just going to have to believe in him historically. You're going to have to believe what he said about some stuff, like your sin, about you being dead in trespasses and sins, about where you're going if you don't get your sins taken care of. You have to believe that. You also believe, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father by me." I know people that believe in Jesus Christ. They do not believe he's the only way. I know people that believe in Jesus Christ. They do not think He is the door to God. Okay? Whatever's the case, that is not the kind of belief that God honors. Okay? He said, Abraham believed in the Lord. He counted it to him for righteousness. He says again here, Abraham believed God. He counted it to him for righteousness. And look at verse 5. But to him, that's to me, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. He said that if I will believe Jesus Christ is what He said He was, that I was lost and on my way to hell, and Jesus died for me and rose again from the dead and ever liveth to make intercession for me, and that He offers me eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If I believe that, He'll give me righteousness in return. That's exactly what it means. Look in Philippians chapter 3 real quick. I'm going to wind this down pretty fast, but I'm not quite done yet. I just have a couple more questions to ask. But in Philippians chapter 3, if you want to see this, look, don't avoid the issue. Don't sit there and shake your head like a maddened bull. Don't pretend this doesn't matter. Listen, you're gambling with your eternity if you're not saved. Don't play that game. Don't play that game with me. This is not religion. We're not playing a religious card game here. Nobody's trying to put anything across on anybody. In the end, this is going to be left to you. This is your choice. But don't pretend it's not important. It's the most monumental thing you can abide in. You probably, many of you here, given a choice anyway, some people don't have a choice, you would not live another day without life insurance for your family's sake, your kids and your wife's welfare. If you could help it, maybe you can't help it. But you would make that an absolute priority, because you know that you can get out there and kill yourself on a street today, and your wife and family would be left in debt and possibly homeless. You know you would deal with it if you could. Why would you gamble with your eternity? Right? It's not a game. We're not playing around. Now look, Philippians chapter 3, notice verse 7. But what things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. So, Paul's counting like God now, right? I counted those loss. But watch this. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. But watch this. And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness of God, the righteousness which is of God by faith. He said, Abraham believed God, it was counted to him for righteousness. If you will put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, He will count that to you for righteousness. Now, having established that, I got thinking just a little more, and you know, now don't misunderstand, but because I'm kind of thinking as somebody that's not fully grounded and settled, I'm still a little troubled by this. Why am I troubled? I'm a little troubled still about how God counts. I'll tell you why. Are you in Genesis 15 still? Go back there and look in chapter 15, verse 5. And in verse 6, it says that Abraham believed God and he counted it to him for righteousness, right? Abraham believed God. That's faith. That's fine. That's good. But what did Abraham believe about God? Look at the last half dozen words. He believed God about what God said about his seed. In other words, he walks outside, God says, look at those stars. Yeah? That's how many kids you're going to have. Huh. He said, you believe it? He said, yeah, you said it. I believe you. He said, okay, I'll give that to you for righteousness. What Abraham believed was what God said about his seed. Well, I got news for you. You walk outside tonight, have God speak to you, and count stars, it's not going to have any effect whatsoever for you. You see, it seems a little arbitrary. You know what I mean? I mean, Abraham believed God, and that's a great type of how I get saved, because I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins, and I mean, I'm told to believe that in the gospel.
Right.
But Abraham just believed what God said about the stars. It was so wild, so outlandish that God said, you believe me? He says, yeah, I believe you. He said, I'll give you righteousness for that faith. But see, it's a little, I'm a little nervous about that. I mean, what happens if next week God says, you know, I've decided that I'm going to give people righteousness that die with the most tiddlywinks. I'm telling you what, if a guy can't do 1,000 push-ups at one time, I don't believe he deserves to go to heaven. You know what I'm saying? You see, here's all I'm getting at. God did not leave it with just counting. You see, what Abraham did back there was just a foreshadow of what I got. Because he didn't just ask me to arbitrarily believe something about his son. He rather arbitrarily asked Abraham to believe what he said about the number of kids he was going to have. So in that regard, we don't have the same faith. Right? As far as I know, I've had all the kids I'm going to have, and I have no promises about more kids. That's not what I'm believing God about. I'm believing God about what he said about his kid, about his son, about Jesus Christ, what he did for me. Okay, here's my point. There's something better than counting. God counted it to him for righteousness. And like I said, if God's just counting this here and that there, and he doesn't, then I'm still a little concerned. But in Jesus Christ, it's not about just what he counts. It's about what Christ became. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 real quick. 2 Corinthians 5, real quick. You see, it's not about him arbitrarily picking something out of his hat and saying, well, if you believe that, I'll give you this. And then a few thousand years later, if you do that, I'll give you this. That's not what it's about. You have something better than God just counting. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we notice verse 21. For he, this is God, for he hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. See, standing out there under the stars, he said, Abraham, do you really believe that I can give you that many kids? Abraham said, yeah, Lord. I may be 90 plus years old, but I believe you. He said, you know what? I'll count that to you for righteousness. Your faith, I'll count that to you. That's not what he asked us to believe. See, Jesus Christ bore your sins in his own body on the tree. Jesus Christ became sin for you. He knew no sin, but he became sin for you that you might be made. You're not just granted righteousness. You're made righteousness. He was made your sin. And he makes you your righteousness. You have the righteousness of God through Christ. Jesus, God looks at you, and it's as if he's looking at his son, Jesus Christ, the perfect, sinless Son of God, because your sins are gone, because he bore them all. It's not just an issue of God assigning value. It's an issue of Jesus Christ having become sin so you could become righteousness. That's cool. So, I have one last question. The issue comes up is when this counts. When does it count? Because here's what I'm thinking. Another passage. Let me show you something. Look in Psalm 106. Psalm 106. I don't want to shake anybody's tree or anything, but you need to think about this. I've told you before this is not a game. I told you before that you're dallying, gambling with eternity if you don't get this settled. So I want to show you something. Abraham, way back, thousands of years ago, right? And here you are in 2009. Those promises are still good for you. God counts faith, belief in what he said about Jesus Christ to you, just like he counted the belief of what Abraham believed about him, right? It still counts the same way. But there's an issue. Because I want to just point out to you, in Psalm 106, Go all the way down to verse 30. And this is way back in the Old Testament where Israel is parked and messing around with the daughters of Moab. And at one particular point, verse 30, then stood up Phinehas and executed judgment, and so the plague was stayed. What that's about is Phinehas, there was a Israelite man and a Moabite woman committing sin. And Phinehas, it made him so mad, he was one of the priest's kids, it made him so mad that he went in and killed them both. And God was so mad that instead of God being mad at Phinehas for doing it, he rewarded him. And I want to show you what he said, verse 31. And that was counted unto him for righteousness. Now, don't look now, but that's the same wording as Genesis 15. It's the same wording as Romans 4. Something was counted for righteousness. Now, you know what? Don't worry. Phinehas is the only guy in the Bible who, when he executed those two sinners, God counted it to him for righteousness. He's the only guy. Everybody agreed? Okay. So there was only one guy at one particular time, at one moment in his life, who was given righteousness, where it was counted righteousness for doing that. That's not going to happen for you. It happened for Phinehas one particular time. Say, what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, there's another guy. For 38 years, he had been crippled. And one day, he's laying by the pool of Bethesda. And the legend, anyway, was that anybody who, when the angel came down and stirred the water, the first guy in the water got healed. Well, this guy had been 38 years crippled. 38 years. And he had been by that pool, but he never could manage to be the first one in. One day, along comes Jesus Christ, and he looks on him, and he says, get up and walk, and heals him. One moment in time, right? One very small window of opportunity. I wouldn't count on that working for you. Right? Here's a thief on a cross, and he's about to die, literally minutes, probably, from dying. He looks on Jesus Christ, he says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the Lord said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now, you know what? There's a lot of people that are waiting for their deathbed to get saved. You'd be surprised how many people I know that when it got time for their deathbed, they were unconscious and had no capability of making a choice. So what's the point, Brother Stevens? The point is, for some of these folks, and I could go through a lot more, there were very brief moments in life where they got in on an opportunity, but it was a unique, singular opportunity, and nobody else has ever been like it. And you have to be careful because sometimes we get a little cocky and think that we might get a singular, unique opportunity. I got news for you. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. All the way from Abraham, all the way up into 2009, right now, the Lord has said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly at heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You have the opportunity to have something counted to you for righteousness, just like Abraham did all the way back there. And if I were you, I would not fritter away that opportunity another day. Not another day. You know why? Because today is the day of salvation. And I got news for you. One day Jesus Christ is coming back, and it's going to be different. One day you're going to run out of breath. And then it's going to be different. And you'll have wished that you had done what Abraham did when it counted. Because there's coming a day that it won't count. There was a man in hell. And he said, I would give anything to get out of here and to be able to go tell my brethren not to come here. And Abraham said, I'm sorry, you're staying here. And even though one rose from the dead, yet they would not believe. Okay? You're not going to get another opportunity. Now is your opportunity. You need to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Get this matter settled. And God will account to God will account your faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, for righteousness. He will take your sins and you will become His righteousness. By imputation, it's given. It's a free gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Don't gamble with your soul. Let's have a word of prayer. Now, Father, we earnestly come to you here. It's been clear to many people. We pray that you will help someone here that's never trusted Christ to get it settled today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to number 241 and stand. 241. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, let me urge you to do so. 241. Drag this out for a real long time. It's not anybody's desire to embarrass anyone, but it is a desire to give you an opportunity to make a decision in the privacy of your own heart. But we can't help you if you have questions, if we don't know what those questions are. I'll give you an opportunity while people's heads bowed and their eyes are closed to come and let me know that you have questions. I'll have someone take you aside privately and show you out of the Bible how to get settled what I'm talking about today. If it's unclear. If it is clear, then conversion is just a very thin breath away. Jesus Christ died for you and He bore your sins on the cross in His own body. He went and defeated sin, death, hell, and the devil on their own ground and rose from the dead. And right now ever lives to make intercession for you. If you know you're a sinner and don't have any hope of getting to heaven without Him, if you'll go to Him, put your faith and trust in Him, He'll save you right now, today. That is a transaction that occurs in the heart. It's not transacted in front of people. It's not transacted in a baptismal pool or in some church ritual. It's transacted in the heart. Anybody like that here? If you have questions, would you come? I'm not out to make a spectacle. Father, we pray that you'll bless the remainder of the invitation. I ask that you will deal with the hearts of sinners and saints alike, as only you can. The Holy Spirit reproves the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. Flesh comes to the end of itself. We men can only talk so much and only accomplish so much. But the Spirit of God can do a lot more. So we pray that you will affect folks. You know how to tweak folks. You know their weaknesses and their strengths. You know what they've been thinking. You know what their imaginations are. I pray you deal with them, Father, where you can work into them, help them to see their need for Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's look this way. We're going to sing the last stanza. Last stanza of 241. Appreciate you folks being here this morning. We'll be back tonight at 6 o'clock. Thank you, visitors, for coming. Grab a calendar. They're $5 a piece. We'll have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. We pray you'll dismiss these folks with your blessing. Hope everybody's made the right and correct decision in their hearts, minds, and souls. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.